Blog Talk Radio.
Rich Wilson, welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. We're here every Sunday evening talking the game of baseball, talking the game of fantasy baseball, talking whatever the heck we want to talk about. And tonight, it is actually Monday, as I was with family over the weekend and was unable to do the show last evening. And so here we are this Monday evening. Of course, the MLB draft is going on with Mize going number one overall, the Auburn pitcher. I think everybody, that was kind of the overall consensus number one pick. Nasty splitter, good slider. Doesn't throw all that hard, but can definitely run it up top out 94, 95 miles an hour. Should make quick work of the minor leagues. My guess will be the number one pick in all of fantasy. From a rookie draft pick next year, really, really good stuff. And I think we'll be a good one. Now, you always have to worry that injuries will set in for pitchers, particularly early. So that's something to always consider. I know Bart, the catcher there, was a guy that some people thought would go number one. He actually went, I believe, number two. So, yeah, Joey Bart went number two from Georgia Tech. Casey Mize goes number one. So the feeling was maybe Bart would go over Mize, just positional player versus pitcher. But, you know, the Tigers just could not let Mize go. And, you know, he turns out to be, you know, potentially number one or at least a number two. And again, kind of, I know a pitcher, and pitchers can always have Tommy John surgery or shoulder injuries or, you know, things of this nature. We see it all of the time. But, you know, he's got good enough stuff that I think the belief is he's definitely going to be a major leaguer, even if he, you know, has some injuries. Obviously, if he has a shoulder injury, kind of like a Kyle Zimmer, never really sees the big leagues. I mean, that always does happen. But, you know, at minimum, he's going to be a number four pitcher, you know, in the big leagues. And most scouts believe he'll be much better than that, with some people putting a number one or high end number two on him. Joey Bart's, you know, nice little player, good catcher. He's got big power, you know, but how much will he hit? How much will he have to spend time in the minor leagues? You know, a lot of times, you know, they like to keep catchers down for a while. He does get in the Giants organization. The Giants have a tendency to move players quickly through their system. So then the third player off the board goes to the Philadelphia Phillies. I tell you, the Phillies are a nice little team, still very young, but improving at the major league level. And they decide to go with Alex Baum, Wichita State University third baseman. Is that, you know, you always go with the best player off the board. So, but Michael Franco has not been a guy they've been all that pleased with what he's done so far early in his major league career. But again, you go with the best player off the board. And then Nick Madrill, I've heard several interviews with him, Oregon State University, fourth college player off the board. In fact, the Reds also went with a college player, Jonathan India. But Mangrel's an interesting guy. Lots of speed, can really, really hit, but not much power. In fact, no power. He's a short guy, so you think of second base short guys, you always think of Jose Altuve. But, I mean, he is much, much taller than Jose Altuve. Jose Altuve's got some pop, as everyone knows. They only got three or four home runs this year. But, you know, I don't see Nick Madrill ever having that level of power that Jose Bautista had. So lots of college players up front before the Mets go with Jarrett Kelenic out of Wisconsin High School. So he was the first high school outfielder, high school player off the board, outfielder again from high school. I thought the interesting pick was, I think it was the Oakland Athletics when they took the quarterback from Oklahoma, who's got crazy speed, lots of pop, really immature approach and hit tool just because he hasn't really played all that much baseball in college. But it looks like, I mean, if you think about pure athletes, probably the best athlete in the draft. So a real chance to have picked up a very, very nice player there. But he's going to, sounds like, play football this fall for the Oklahoma Sooners and then dedicate his craft to baseball. Now, if he does that, great. But you saw, like, with Tyler Trammell, another kind of toolsy kid that just needed to learn how to play baseball. And we see where that works. And we see other guys that never really developed that hit tool. I know there's a lot of people really big on Kyler Murray. And if he turns into something, he could be a fantasy stud. So it's a guy to really think about. Again, total toolsy player here. But, I mean, you're betting on the come that he can develop a hit tool. And I think that's what's going to be interesting about him. So that's probably the fascinating pick of the first round, because he was even scheduled to go into first round because most people thought he would try to enter the NFL draft, but he's not a very big guy. So his attorney spoke with him. The parents spoke with him. His agent spoke with him and said, look, you know, baseball might be the way to go. And you figure the Oakland Athletics taking him there at 9, that's what, $3.5 million. That's a very nice payday for the young man. So it'd be interesting. I think if he does sign, then he's committed to playing for the Athletics, at least for a period of time. So anyway, that's it. So Casey Mizuka is number one overall. No surprise there. And the biggest surprise is, again, Murray, quarterback from University of Oklahoma, going to the Oakland Athletics. So we'll be talking a lot more about this draft in future podcasts, but just wanted to give everybody a quick update as that is going on this evening. We've got a great show planned for you this evening, a bit of a short show, just because it is Monday, and there's only 4 or 5 games today, I guess, with the draft going on. They decided to make that more of an event, which I think is pretty cool. Yankees go with a double hitter, though. So not a whole lot of games to talk about. But before we bring on the great Tim McLeod, just if you want to get a hold of us, you can get me on Twitter at RichWilsonP361, at RichWilson3P361. Of course, the great Tim McLeod on Facebook, Timothy V at Tim McLeod, McLeod. You can find him, be friends with him. Good person to have, be friends with him. In fact, my wife is enjoying very much the Tim McLeod's musings out on Facebook. If you want to support the show, you can do that a bunch of ways. You can go out and rate and review us on iTunes. We'd appreciate that. You can also go to our website, prospect361.com, and simply support one of our sponsors. Click those links on. It's MLB Shops. It's Steiner Sports. It's Amazon.com, and of course, it is StubHub. Go click on those and go do your doings. And, you know, they're affiliated links, so we get a little revenue, a little commission when you purchase anything off of those. So it's not the baseball-related, though, with Steiner Sports and MLB Shops. It's probably what you're going to get is baseball-related stuff. But click on it, go buy stuff at Amazon, and Tim and I get a little tiny commission off of that. It always helps support the show and support us. Without further ado, let's bring on the great Tim McLeod. Timothy, how are you?
I'm just fine, Rich. I had you almost a little confused with that name change on the intro, eh?
Yeah, I know. I was like, Timothy, why isn't it Franwell? What happened to him? Reyes. So,
Reyes, yeah.
So
I'm going formal tonight, Rich. That was a great intro you did reviewing the draft. One quick question. Is it fair to say moving forward that the Tigers might be fairly miserly?
Yeah, exactly. They might be fairly miserly. It's a nice pick, you know. I mean, it's a safe pick, Timmy, and it's one they had to make. I mean, it's one of those things that you can get really cute and go with a high upside guy there and, you know, wait 4 or 5 years. But I think with Mize, I mean, I think they have a chance to, you know, to kind of see what they have in a year or two. And I think that's what you want.
Well, yeah, the Tigers do have some half decent young talent. It would be a shame for them to rebuild over the next 15 years, something like that.
Yeah, I think emphasis on the half-decent, I mean, that's part of the problem. If you think about them versus, like, the White Sox and the Phillies and the Braves, these guys just have, like, like studs. They've got really, really good players coming up. And as you know, you can't just have a team full of half decent players. That's a recipe for finishing 500.
Well, yeah, you need a little bit more than half decent and the rest indecent.
Exactly, Tim. You got to have some studs. You got to have some half decent players, and you got to have some indecent players. I mean, every team has got that. So, how's life, Timmy? How's your Tout Wars team, and how is your labor team doing?
Tout Wars is stalled. I've done what I think I need to do. Now I just have to sit back and see if I can lower the ERA and WHIP and write off the starting pitching. But it's been a case of injuries again, hurting. Helixson, losing Helixson, it might not sound like a big deal, but he was one of the guys I was sort of counting on for a while for at least decent peripherals. So I'm stalled about the middle, seventh, I think, in tote. Labor, I'm still in first. The lead has shrunk to about 10 or 11, but this week I've got Chris Davis back and I've got Carmart back, so that definitely helps.
Oh, good. Yeah, it was... You know, it's interesting that somebody asked me about Sixto Sanchez, to me, the hard throw in Phillies. I think he's
right.
In high A. At least I saw him in low A last year. He may be in double A. Really, really good stuff. Just the nasty, nasty stuff. And people ask me, you know, is it Pedro Martinez all over again? And I said, no, I think it's more like Carlos Martinez all over again. It's kind of more of a violent delivery. But Carlos Martinez is a pretty good pitcher. And I think Sixto Sanchez has to be a pretty good pitcher, too.
Yeah, our good friend Buck Davidson is doing some photography work, and he's caught him two or three times, and he's very, very impressed with what he's seen thus far, Rich.
But Buck lives in Florida, so he must be in the Florida State League, so he's still in high A, so I haven't checked on him recently.
Yeah, he's still in high A, playing the parks scattered all over Florida, Rich.
Yeah. Well, good, Timmy. Well, we've got, I think, a good show. It's a bit of a short show, but I think a good show nonetheless. And, you know, one of the things I always like to do is get your thoughts on some over-unders in terms of what's going on. And I've got 10 players here, and they're over-under. Timmy, you ready?
I'm ready to roll, Rich. Fire away.
I don't know if you know who's leading the major leagues in home runs, but it's young Michael Trout. Assuming health, Timmy, and I guess all of this assumes health. Mike
right.
Trout. 49 home runs.
Well, he's currently got 19. I keep thinking back to that amazing rookie campaign of his, 2012, and everybody talking, would he ever get to that level again in the future? Or is that a one-off? And so far, I think arguably his best year has been his first up until this year. I think this year he's gonna break all the numbers. I'm going over on the home runs, and I'm predicting a 50-35 season.
Wow, the stolen bases. The stolen bases are right 13, I think. I know I've got them in one league, and I think it's 13 stolen bases. Do I have that right?
Yeah, it's somewhere in the right area. I think it's about 13 right now. Yeah.
Yeah, 50-35. Can you imagine, Timmy?
You know, you toss in, you know, 135 runs scored with a 300 batting average. That's a pretty fair season, isn't it?
It's a great season, Timmy, and it's one that if you draft him, particularly in a deeper league, like you've got him, I know, in labor, it gives you such a huge leg up when you've got that kind of counting stats coming. And I don't know if labor's an on-base percentage league, but batting 300, he's probably got a 430, 440 on-base percentage. It's just, you talk about the have and have-nots or the indecent, the decent. I mean, you can have Mike Trout and a bunch of decent players and win your league.
Well, that's exactly what's happening in labor. It's a batting average league, but, you know, along with Trout, I've also got Nomar Mazara. I've got Ozzie Albies, Gleyber Torres, Walker Buehler. That's granted pitching, but what I've done is I've got some players that are achieving at incredible levels, and I've got Brian Anderson, Nick Hundley now as an upgrade over Vasquez at catcher. I've got a lot of very average players surrounded by great players, and that's exactly what's happening. The production from those players, especially Trout, is carrying me.
Yeah, I think Trout's going to hit more than 50, Tim. A lot more. I mean, because you think we're 35% of the way through the season, so, and he's got 19 already. You know, he could very easily have 28, 29 by the end of June.
Oh, yeah, the potential is there to hit more. I'm being conservative. I went one over your 49 just to be over, Rich. I think 50 is a safe bet.
A guy that's not – I don't know if you recall, Timmy, because he made our what's wrong with these players, and Jose Ramirez was one of those guys, what's wrong with these players. I think it was the second or third week of the season. He was terrible. He's up to 18 home runs, Timmy, and he has been just – in the last 8 weeks of the season, it's been pretty remarkable. Jose Ramirez, over under 45 home runs.
I'm going with the under just marginally. I think he'll slow down a little bit as the season progresses. So I'm going to go, he's going to break the 40 mark, but I think 42, 43.
Unheralded guy coming up through the minor league system. In a dynasty league, most people picked him off the waiver wire. And he's a number one draft pick next year, Timmy. If he keeps even close to this pace up, even if he gets 43 home runs, as you just said, I think you said 43. He's a first round pick.
Well, yeah, because you're talking about 20 stolen bases in there as well. If things trend the way that they have so far in the season, next spring, if somebody says I'm going to draft Jose Ramirez fourth overall, I'd say okay.
Yeah,
it wouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah, so I totally agree with you. I mean, it's a guy that I never saw it coming. I think he was eighth, ninth ranked once in my top 10. I mean, no one, including myself, thought this guy was even going to be like an everyday regular in the major leagues, and he's a superstar.
Yeah, he took the bull by the horns, and he has run with it, and I don't see that changing. He's, what, 25, 26? Kid's still young. I see a great future ahead for Jose Ramirez.
So another Jose, Timmy, and I need to read you a quick letter. This is from Mr. and Mrs. Jose. This is from Mr. and Mrs. Altuve. They wrote me this from Venezuela, Timmy. It took over a week to get here to my house. It says, Dear Mr. Wilson, we do not have the great Tim McLeod's mailing address, so we're sending it to you instead. First of all, the words great and Tim McLeod do not go together because he made fun of our son, the MVP, Jose Altuve, when he said he would no longer be a first-round draft pick because he was not going to be stealing bases this year. Well, Mr. Wilson, please tell the so-called great Tim McLeod that he is already up to 8. Sign, Mr. and Mrs. Altuve. Timmy. It's a real letter that came yesterday. I thought I'd share that with you.
Well, I thank you very much, Rich. By the time it got to me, it would have been next spring. And, by the time it passed through all them border checkpoints and everything else and over the wall, geez, I might not have gotten it at all. You know, I truly apologize to the Altuve family for the fact that their kid is no longer as good as they think he is. And eventually, reality will kick in at Altuve. My apologies.
So, Timmy, he's up to 8 stolen bases. I got to say, I know you're going to say over under 25.
I'm going with under still. He had a little bit of a spurt, but again, I just don't see him running like we've seen him run in the past. I think it's going to be very close on the 25. I'm going to go under and say 20, 21, 22, somewhere in that. Do they want him running in September, Rich? Really? I can't.
It's a fair point. And if you take a look at the last 2 years, Timmy, he amassed like almost 25 stolen bases by the time, August hit, and he did not run. So
right.
I think it's fair. I think 25 is a stretch. I could see it. I think the days of 30, though, are definitely behind us. And if he's only going to hit 15 home runs, let's say he's 15, 25, still a really good player, but I think a first-round draft pick because of the batting average and, by definition, his high, batting average is so high, his on-base percentage, I still think he's a first-round draft pick, but, going top 5, probably not.
Well, yeah, I also don't own a uniform.
You're so mean. My buddy, Jose Altuve. I've got this letter. I'll be posting it out on my Twitter account so all to see. By the way, Timmy, I realized midweek that I had forgotten to post the picture of the century plant. And my beautiful wife, Lori, posted it out there. I know you commented on it. Tell me what your thoughts are.
Well, you know, Rich, we're good friends, and I've never met Lori, but I consider her to be a good friend as well. So I strived as hard as I could, okay, to be politically correct. But that's the ugliest hunk of bamboo I've ever seen in my life.
It's really weird, right? I mean, it's ugly, and it's an asparagus plant. I mean, doesn't it look like an asparagus spear?
Well, yeah, and it's got these weird things on the top of it. It looks sort of like a T-shirt I wore tie-dyed in the late 60s, early 70s, eh?
Well, so Timmy, for a month it had just the spear. Now you're looking at what the internet says are the beautiful blooms that are coming out. So.
Well, they are blooming beautiful, Rich. I'll agree.
It is totally weird. I did post it out on my Twitter feed. It's weird, people. So it is in a bizarre sense, kind of an interesting thing. I think Lori wouldn't say interesting, but I still find it curious to me when I look at it.
Well, what happens when it's done blooming? Does that like 30
it dies?
Falls over and dies.
I don't know, Timmy. I'll let you know towards the end of the summer. I have no idea. But I know the plant dies within a year.
The whole plant itself?
The whole plant just disintegrates, dies. That's it.
Well, in that case, you don't have to worry about calling the landscaper, right?
And again, the guy was supposed to come and take down some trees. The guy still hasn't showed up yet. I don't know what's going on there, Timmy. It's the beach. They come when they feel like it. They come when they're ready.
Well,
it's like they don't follow their schedule.
Maybe the guy's just busy and he's branching out.
Very well played. Very well played. Okay, Baltimore Orioles over/under. Timmy, that's a bad team. Over/under at 105 losses.
I'm going to go with the over. They're not as bad as they can be yet. They're going to move some players. That's going to make them worse. So I'm going to go with somewhere around 110 losses on the season, Rich.
Yeah, I agree with you, Timmy. That's a bad team. And Machado, they have to move them. I mean, but Buck Showalters and Duquette, I mean, they're not coming back, so I'm not sure they have any incentive to do anything. So they might just keep Machado there just because they want him around. I don't know. And maybe they feel like they can get a better draft pick next year by holding on to him. It'll be fascinating to see what they do. But I would think Machado moves, and I would assume they keep Jonathan Scope. But maybe they just completely clean house and just start over.
Well, yeah, it's tough when your current management team has no, they're, from what I can gather, none of them are under contract for next year. So that makes it doubly tough. The other guy that I think has to go is Zach Britton. Give him enough to show that he can do the job, move him on out. They should basically, I would clean house of everybody pretty much other than Jonathan Scope.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, they're not going to be able to get rid of the guy they really need to get rid of. That's Chris Davis. I mean, that's just $100 million sunk.
Yeah, they won't be writing him a check and saying, enjoy the beach house. We don't want you back. No, he's going to be around for a while.
Yeah, well, that's their Ryan Howard noose that they've got around them. And unfortunately, they don't have the financial wherewithal that Philadelphia has. So it's tough days. I agree with you. I think it could be 109, 110 loss for that team, and it's just a bad team. Matt Kemp, Timmy, player of the week, the named player of the week this year, currently has 9 home runs. I got the over-under at 27 home runs.
I'm going to go under on that one, Rich. I think at some point in time he'll slump a little bit. And I'll go 23, 24, but I don't think he'll maintain his current pace for the full 4 months.
Having said that, Timmy, and you could be right. I'm going to say it's 25 to 28. I think he's right near 27, but it doesn't matter. It's a handful. When we're here all year round, Timmy, 52 weeks. I think we take a week off at Christmas time, and we talk about everything, and we were there to report when Matt Kemp supposedly came in great shape. Everybody said he was in great shape. It's the overused cliche in spring training, but it appears that he was in great shape, and he had a mission, Tim, to kind of come back. But we know Matt Kemp, he's done this before, Are people going to get suckered in like they did with Ryan Zimmerman and others, you know, and he's going to be terrible again next year? Because you know he's going to be a guy that's going to get drafted next year.
Well, yeah, when he reports to camp next year, Rich, if he is still in the greatest shape that he was in all this year, I will have interest. If he reports to camp at 280 pounds, I think he's somebody you're going to have to track very carefully at the beginning of spring training next year.
Yeah, I think, and you have to see what he does. You're going to have to really lay eyes on him, if nothing else on TV, to see if he's still in great shape. But, Timmy, he's done this before, where he's gotten, like, on a mission, and he's come back and done well, and then he reverts back to the old Matt Kemp. And from people I know who know of the situation there, not the greatest teammate in the world. That's his reputation.
Yeah, we've heard that, but, again, I think it's just something we're going to have to track very closely. I'm not prepared to, you know, come up with a crystal ball on Matt Kemp, because, like you said, we've seen many sides to this gentleman over the years, and I don't want to see the big side next spring.
Shohei Ohtani, Timmy, currently batting .290. Batting average was .340 just a few weeks ago. I have his batting average at .250, over under .250 batting average for Shohei Ohtani.
Definitely over, Rich. He's currently .290. That's even low. I'll go .360 over the balance of the year.
Okay. I've got the under, Timmy. You care to make a steak and liquor bet here?
Under on the .250?
Yes.
Yeah, I got to do something to try and catch up with that Mitch Haniger fiasco.
Right. Okay. I got under and showing. I got to tell you, Tim, I am an owner of Shohei Ohtani. I'm not a happy owner in a weekly league. I'm going to be honest with you. Because I want him to be a pitcher. And one, he never gets two starts. Never. He only pitches once a week. That's a bummer. And sometimes he misses a start. And you got a dead roster spot for 2 weeks. I've had dead roster spots. Last week I had a dead roster, or 2 weeks ago. And it's a bummer. It's been tough owning him if you want him to be a pitcher. Great when he pitches, but man, it's tough when you get just the goose egg for the week.
Yeah, see, I've taken a different approach with Ohtani. I've got him in one draft and hold, and I'm using him as a bat. And what I've done is I snuck in and I picked up Beria, and I have him in that. I believe I have him in that league, and I have Beria in a couple other leagues. So the two of them sort of go hand in hand. When Ohtani misses a start, Beria gets one. So you just got to sort of watch it and plan accordingly.
That's interesting. Beria got demoted. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah, he did. I anticipate he'll be back up within somewhere between 10 and 15 days.
Yeah, well, just be careful, Timmy. I did some research. It could be a correction coming there. He's just okay.
Yeah, well, no. But you know what? If you're using him as a 6-7, that's the right spot, right?
Yeah. Well, I need Ohtani to be a pitcher, Timmy. I don't need him to be a hitter. I need him to be a pitcher. Look, I love the 9 strikeouts and 6 innings and some of the great stat lines. There's not enough of them. And I think it's a real bummer in a weekly league that you never get that 2-start out. Because that 2-start, man, you always – it warms me cuckles, Timmy, as you know. When you see that 2 starts, it's a good thing.
Yeah, you know what I would suggest, Rich, is put him in your starting – put him in your pitching lineup and leave him there. He's going to get you 150 innings. When he gets them is sort of irrelevant, isn't it? Except for the fact that you're trying to max out on your pitching and get a few more starts in there. I would just put him in my my lineup and let him go.
Billy Hamilton, Timmy, 30 stolen bases, currently has 10. I'm going to speak here. I got the under.
Yeah, I got the under too. If we OBP at 300, I'd take the under too.
Yeah, I'd definitely take the under there. It's been brutal. Speaking of, well, not on-base percentage, batting average. I just threw this in here. This is a sad one, Timmy. Lewis Brinson, and I didn't even check his stat. Last time I looked, it was like 154. I got a 200 batting average, over, under 200. I got the under. I don't know what you have, but it's really sad.
Well, you know what? He had he batted 403 games in March, okay? And in June, he's got a 400 batting average, okay? So you would think when you say, okay, you know, he's batting 150 or something, April he batted 139. May he batted 137.
It's pretty consistent.
His strikeout to walk ratio was 33-6 in April, and it regressed to 29-2 in May. I don't know if 150 is attainable, Rich, let alone 200.
Maybe that's what we should. Timmy, it's the guy can play some defense. There's no doubt. And I worried, in all disclosure, I've been a huge Lewis Brinson fan, but I did worry that he was going to be Keon Broxton. He's not as good as Keon Broxton is. I mean, it's not good. It is not good.
And where is Keon Broxton currently playing his trade, Rich?
I believe he's in AAA somewhere, Timmy. I'm not exactly wherever the Milwaukee's AAA organization is.
Colorado Springs.
He should be hitting 800 in Colorado Springs. But, man, I get it. I mean, there's nobody – the Miami Marlins are not trying to be good. You might as well throw Lewis Brinson out there. Let him learn a lot. Timmy, I've seen enough of his bats. I love the kid. I love the work ethic. He's a quality individual. I don't know, man. I know he's young, but I don't know if he's ever going to be able to hit enough. I just don't know.
No, I think at this stage it's down to, well, they need somebody for bobblehead night, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough, man. It is really tough. Max Scherzer, Timmy, 120 strikeouts already. Over under 300 for Max Scherzer.
Something he's never done, and this year I think he's going to do it and throw another Cy Young in there, but I think he's going to get to 300 this year, Rich. I'm going to bet on the over.
And a guy who I think will get some Cy Young votes, Tim, is Josh Hader. Over under 200, at least he should. Over under 200 strikeouts, he's at 69 today.
Yeah, don't call me a hater, Rich, but I'm going with the under on this one. And I've actually got a logical explanation, okay? In April and May, six times he pitched multiple innings in save opportunities, okay? Corey Knebel is now back, okay? I think the Brewers are going to, you know, put the kibosh on those two-inning efforts. And, you know, I think he's going to average 11, 12 innings a month, which gives you 48. Two strikeouts per inning gives you 96, 100. I'll say 165 strikeouts. I just don't think he's going to get the innings in needed to get to the 200 strikeout mark. But an interesting stat, while I was looking at Hader, he's pitched 20 times this year for Milwaukee, Rich. And in every appearance that he has made, the Brewers have won. They're a perfect 20-0 in his appearances. How's that?
Wow, that's impressive to me. That, you know, and it's not coincidental. It's just a guy that's just lights out. And, you know, I was talking to the NFBC guys. You know, I was on their Sirius radio station, and they're both, at least one of them's from Milwaukee. And we've had this debate going on for years about is Josh Hader a starter reliever? And I always contended he was a reliever. Then again, I thought Luis Severino was a leader, and he's one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball. I digress.
Right.
And the question that came up a couple of weeks ago, I mean, do the Brewers, given what he's done, do they give him a chance to start? And Timmy, even though I think he's a reliever, I think they need to. I mean, I really do. I mean, can he make it through a lineup twice or three times? I don't know. But I think you need to find that out.
Yeah, I think it would be interesting to find it out. But I think the answer they're going to get is probably the one that they currently have. He's a relief pitcher. That's what I think. And why? You know what? You got 1 to 2 innings every outing, basically. That's lockdown, shutdown innings. You know, I'd have trouble tinkering with that. I really do. As you know, how many pitches do you have in his repertoire? Does he have three pitches? You know, that maximum?
No, he's never had the changeup, which is one of the, well, he does have the changeup, and you know, left-handers get right-handers get a really good look at it. I can't even imagine what it's like to be a left-hander going up to bat at him, because the ball's coming from behind the batter's ear, because he's so far over on the right-hand side coming across his body.
Right.
But I mean, you would think the second or third time through the innings, right-handed batters would start to be able to get a really, really good look at him.
Well, that would be my train of thought. And being that he's only a two-pitch pitcher, that could create problems. And let's face it, if we're in a situation where he's starting, your opposing manager, how many left-handed bats is going to have? As few as humanly possible. It's a little different when you're facing him once in the bottom of the eighth. You take your left-handed bat out. You know what I mean? You know, when he happens to be your best bat. But when you're facing him three times in a game, my guess is they would stack everything right-handed, which again would further compound the problem.
You bring up really great arguments, Timmy. It's, you know, I think it'd be interesting to see if they ever do that experiment. But, you know, as good as Andrew Miller has been, and again, you could argue he and Corey Kluber together almost won them a World Series. I mean, Andrew Miller was just incredible. And he's done it at the highest level in the most highly leveraged situations. Josh Hader, having said that, Josh Hader is significantly better than Andrew Miller. I mean, this is a guy that just he's unhittable.
He's going to get Cy Young votes, and he should. Definitely he should.
And it'd be cool to see if the Josh Hader experiment, Tim, brings back, you know, the old-time relief pitcher who would go two or three innings and, you know, give you five or six innings a week and, you know, incredible strikeouts and, you know, do 120 innings and 160, 170 strikeouts, which is what Hader probably would pitch less innings, still that many strikeouts. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it would be interesting to see if that starts a trend, because, you know, MLB baseball is nothing. It is a copycat league.
Oh, most definitely. And there are a few relievers out there who do pitch more than just an inning. Rachel Iglesias comes to mind. He routinely pitches 1 1/3, 1 2/3. But then again, Cincinnati only gives him a chance to save games once a week, so he's got the opportunity, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Timmy, we get back, we're talking about news and notes and some interesting things to talk about. One of the things I forgot to admit, and that I forgot to admit, one of the things I omitted in last week's notes, Timmy, was the Boston Red Sox DFAing Hanley Ramirez. Again, he's 34 years old, way past his prime. But Tim, this was, as you know, for a couple of years, the number one overall draft pick when he was with the Florida Marlins in fantasy. This was a really, really good player. And I take a look at his stat line. He has 4 stolen bases. He's got 6 home runs. He got a 708 OPS. Again, not the same player. But I'm surprised, a little bit surprised that the Red Sox basically cut him. I mean, he's not a Red Sox. He does not have a job.
No, and you know those good seasons you're talking about, Rich? At that point in time, I was 190 pounds and had a full head of hair.
Okay. Yeah, Tim, have you seen my hair recently? I'm speaking of hair, Tim. We're talking really long.
You know, I saw the picture of the graduation, and I thought, yeah, man, he's doing it. Yeah, for you, Rich. It's getting there. You know, it would take me forever to get to that stage. And I'd have to count all of them to make sure I didn't lose any during the growth process.
I'm going to say it's vintage Jacob DeGrom flow I've got going on. It's about as long as Jacob DeGrom's flow, and I've got this 19 for the beach. In fact, I brought it home with me this week, and got this like 1940 style hat that I wear at the beach, and the hair comes out. Timmy, it's a good look. I look pretty crazy in it. And Lori just rolls her rolls her eyes. And I told her that I would cut it before Matt's wedding, which is a year from September. So I got about another year of this, and then I'm cutting it and becoming a human being again. But it's been fun. It's a lot of work, but it's been fun.
You know, Rich, whatever you do, as long as I don't see you with a man bun, okay, it's over, okay?
I don't do the man bun, but I mostly wear it in a ponytail. So it's because it's a lot of work, dude. It's a lot of work. It's much easier to say, I'm not going to wash it. You to literally throw it in a ponytail and you're done. So it's and I get some strange looks, and it's also a bit of a social experiment to find out how you're treated now that you have a ponytail. And it's so far it's not been good. It's not been good, Tim. Less respected is probably the appropriate thing to say.
Are you saying that the Five Man Electrical Band, when they wrote the song Signs a number of years ago, there were some valid concerns in that song?
Yes, I think people look at you, they look at the way you're dressed, they look at how you, your length of your hair, and they make judgments from that. And it's partially a social experiment. I'm experiencing that as we speak, and it's like, they look at you and they, wow, is he about to rob me?
I was going to say, And on the other hand, you could have a total bum come in a rented tux, and they'll treat him like $1 million, right?
Exactly. But back to Hanley Ramirez, Timmy.
Okay.
Any reason he should be rosterable in fantasy? Or is like, he's going to get a job somewhere. He can still hit lefties.
Well, yeah, he's going to get a job somewhere, especially now that the money's all taken care of and they can sign him up at minimum. Yeah, he'll get a job somewhere. I'm predicting this is the perfect fit. It really is. There is not a better home for Hanley Ramirez than the San Francisco Giants.
Yeah, it makes sense.
They like older, underachieving players. And right now, yep. Brandon Belt is out for a bit. So, hey, you got to fit, right?
Yeah, speaking of Brandon, Timmy, look, this guy, I feel for this guy. This is like the second or third, maybe the fourth time where he has had a great 2 months or so of the year, and then something bizarre happens. He's fractured his hand. He's gotten a concussion. And this year, he has an emergency appendectomy. Now, I remember Matt Holliday, I think, missed 2 days, and he came back after.
Remember that?
And a couple of other guys have come right. I don't know if because of the emergency, where they were doing it laparoscopically, where they had to cut into him. I didn't read that detail. But you got to feel bad for Brandon Belt, right?
Well, you know what? Brandon Belt, his luck is so bad, okay? He actually ends up on the DL from an emergency surgery for a piece of anatomy that's not necessary in the first place. Like, how bad of luck can you get?
That's perfect. That's perfect, Tim. That is really perfect. I don't know. Hopefully he'll just be out for the 10 days, maybe 2 weeks, and get back, because I'd really like to see him as an all-star.
I would as well. But like I said, this when I saw that, my first thought was of you, and then my second thought was, really, come on, like, what are the odds? Like, Brandon Belt, don't buy a lottery ticket. You're wasting your money. Yeah. Don't do it.
Yeah, I truly feel bad for the kid. I really do. From every person I've ever talked to who's had any interaction with him, he's like the nicest, like everything I hear is like the sweetest man ever, just a very kind soul. And he has no luck, Timmy. And I still think he's got some baseball skills. I don't think he's a 300 hitter. He's probably a 260 hitter with a 360 on base percentage with 25 to 30 home run pop. If he in a full season, he can be a good player, more pop if he ever gets out of San Francisco. I just don't know. History says he'll never be able to do that because he'll never play a full season.
Well, yeah, he's like the guy in the Andy Capp cartoon with the cloud over his head. Remember him?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go back to the Red Sox. We talked about Hanley Ramirez. Jackie Bradley Jr., Tim, remember that year he hit, 26 home runs? Last year, 17 home runs. This year, 196 batting average, a 301 slug. He has two homers. He does have six stolen bases, which is nice. it's not a good year for Jackie Bradley Jr. And again, I talked about Brandon Belt being a good person. Everything I've heard on Jackie Bradley Jr. is like one of the like premier individuals in the game, just a good, solid citizen, and apparently works his butt off. But Tim, he's been exposed, and it's just not happening. He's losing playing time, and great defender, but I don't know, Tim, is he rosterable anymore?
Well, obviously the Red Sox believe, because he's still there and Hanley isn't, right? So yeah. there's got to be something that keeps him there, and it's his glove. And you know what? They're prepared. Bradley's been a streaky player, and I think Boston is prepared to live with the batting average and the struggles he's going through right now to keep that glove in the lineup, because he will save the run. So I think they'll let him work his way through it. And I actually saw Bradley on a waiver wire in one of my leagues last week, and I picked him up. I'll sit him on the bench and see if he can pull it together.
I think he was dropped in a dynasty. He was dropped in one of our dynasty leagues. Might have been the same one you and I are in, and I didn't bite. And you know, Timmy, I think what's going to happen if the Red Sox are still the Red Sox here in about a month, which you think they will be, I bet you they bring in an outfielder, and Jackie Bradley Jr. becomes, you know, the eighth inning guy that comes in for defensive replacement.
It's entirely possible, but I think the Red Sox will, you know, they'll exercise an incredible amount of patience with Bradley because the glove is that good.
Yeah. Matt Bum, Tim, he returns apparently this week. Any concerns about putting him right back in your lineup?
Nope. If you own Mad Bum, you've already lost 2 months. You don't want to lose any more. Get him going.
Nate Eovaldi, Timmy, hasn't pitched since sometime in 2016. He's rusty, right? Nope. 6 no-hit innings gets the win. Nate Eovaldi. I mean, I think we talked about him as a couple of weeks ago coming back, and we're both a little hesitant on that. Not so.
No, it's been totally bizarre, hasn't it? Like, you look at what Eovaldi does. Take a look at Austin Meadows. There's a guy that hit 3 home runs in his past 4 years in the minors, and he's up to 5 or 6 now with Pittsburgh. No rhyme or reason. All these kids have got skills, and hey, good for Eovaldi. I think you got to pick him up, and I think you got to go with him.
I've always been a huge fan of Austin Meadows, Timmy. I have to tell you, I didn't know I don't think this can continue. I didn't think he has 40 home run power, but I thought he was a lot better player than he shows the last couple of years. And I'm just thrilled for the kid that he's getting a chance to play. I think he will get demoted at some point because the Pittsburgh Pirates do not want to make him a Super 2 player, and that's what he will become in the next 3 years if he doesn't get demoted for another 6 weeks or so. So that's coming. As soon as that slump hits, Tim, I think that's what happens because they're full in the outfield. But I'm really happy for him because he's had a lot of injuries and he's had a disappointing 2.5 years, and it's good to see him. And didn't think he had this much power, but I thought he was a lot better player than he had shown in the last couple of years.
Yeah, and I agree with your assessment. The Pirates will take 3 weeks this year and call it a slump. He needs some work, and then they'll start him the third week of April next year, and they're back on track again, right?
Exactly. You know, one guy, speaking of the Pirates, Tim, that I think has been just really, really disappointing is Gregory Polanco. Just that hitch, Tim, he has not been able to solve that hitch, and until he does, I don't think he's going to hit enough to ever get to the 30 home run power that he has.
No, I think as long as he has that hitch, Rich, he's going to be a trailer.
Yeah, it's just not good. Let me take a look at what, you know, he's not in our notes. I got to take a look at what he's doing. But
8 home runs.
Yeah, okay.
8 home runs, no batting average, very few stolen bases.
Yeah, well, yeah, we saw, look, I always thought, and I'm not a wee, but I always saw the power and the speed would cross at some point. But I thought he'd hit more than he has, and the hitch has gotten more pronounced as he's become older. And now, you know, batting 212, 52 strikeouts, and against 28 walks. I mean, you do like the walks, they're way up. But, Timmy, he's got to make more contact, man.
Well, you know what? He could be a 2020 player this year, Rich. And last year, so was Keon Broxton, and they both have the same batting average. Broxton has a better batting average, right?
Yeah, I know, Tim. It's tough, and I feel for I think Polanco. I always loved him in the minor leagues, and man, it just shows you. You know, you and I do worry about Kyle Tucker's another guy with a hitch and a swing, and I'm just wondering if he gets exposed when he gets to the major leagues. That's my big kind of going prospect on you. My big worry about Kyle Tucker on that, but. You know, I'm not willing to drop him in the rankings. I'm not willing to talk smack about him just because I think he's got a little bit better skill set, a little bit better hit tool than Gregory Polanco, but it does gnaw at me, Tim.
Well, and for good reason. We've seen the effects of it, haven't we?
Yeah. Clayton Kershaw, Tim. Now, you took him out of your first round, and I get it. 2 years in a row with back problems. This year, he doesn't have a back problem. Got a tricep issue, I think, or bicep issue, and comes back and I don't know, one run over five innings, but yet his velocity was 88, 89 miles an hour. I think he hit 90 once on the radar, and all of a sudden he's on the DL, projected to miss a month for back reasons. So now it's three seasons in a row. Timmy, and as a fellow sufferer of back pain and eventually having to get surgery to fix that, I can't imagine how he's actually pitching and re-strengthening his core and so forth. And with a herniated disc, Timmy, I know we've talked about this a bunch of times. He's got to get that fixed.
He has to get it fixed at some point in time. You know, they're saying it's not a disc issue. Well, the disc issue is still there. They don't heal themselves. They don't grow new roots and become better. That disc issue is going to be ongoing until he gets the surgery and gets it done. I agree with you. Now is as good a time as any. I don't know what the rehab and the time frame you're looking at is on that particular surgery, but he's got to get that disc. He's got to get it done. He has to at some point.
Yeah. So the way you know the way here, just everybody again, when you've had the problem, you know about it. So this is what I don't know much, but I do know this. So what happens is, Tim, your back's got a bunch of discs in them, and at
right.
some point they're in a sleeve, you know, which is your sleeve with all your discs in it. And what happens is, if you put too much pressure on it, your disc will push through that sleeve, and it herniated, it ruptures that disc, and it doesn't fix itself. You know, as you said,
mm-hmm.
you've got to the doctor has to go back in. Push it in, shave it off, and then sew it back up, and then that actually heals the problem. And you can live the rest of your life with never having any more problems. Knock on wood, hopefully that's my case. You know, I was, Tim, it was a simple surgery. You're in and out of the hospital. You're resting and recovering for a couple of weeks, and then you start light activity. And I'm assuming he doesn't have to swing a bat, but I'm assuming he's back in pitching within a couple of 3 months. But I would hope in the off season he gets it done or at some point, because I think it's going to be an ongoing problem. Who am I to say Timmy's one of the greatest pitchers we've ever seen, but is entering free agency, probably not going to go into free agency. He's probably going to just keep on with the Dodgers. So money's not an issue, but you would think he'd want to get this fixed. I mean, it's 3 years in a row, Tim.
Well, a trend has developed.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not good. So in
no,
redraft leagues, do you drop him?
I don't think you can drop him. You got to keep him on the DL and hope a month from now he comes back. And even if he gets you three or four starts, you know, hey, could make a difference. Who knows? You might end up with him. You might end up with him for 2-3 months. Yeah, you can't drop him. But you've also got to set the bar very low, knowing that with every pitch it could be potentially the last one you see him of the year.
Now, do you still own him in DL too?
Yes, I do, unfortunately.
So let me ask you a question. So not that I'm fishing for a trade here, but
right.
like what would it take for you? I mean, what do you put Clayton Kershaw's value? Do you put him as the best pitcher in baseball still? Would that be what it would take to get him from you? A Max Scherzer type player, or would it, you know, are you now more realistic that something a lot less would get Clayton Kershaw, or would you ever trade him in a dynasty league knowing that, oh, okay, he's going to go get the surgery at some point. He's going to be back to being somewhat 90% Clayton Kershaw. I mean, what's your thinking in DL2 and if somebody approached you for a trade?
I'm still totally unrealistic, Rich. I always have been, and I'm not changing when it comes to trades. My train of thought is that I'm not going to sell Clayton Kershaw unless I get a very, very good return. I'll take my lumps this year if I have to, and I'll bet that at some point in time he gets the surgery and I get some value, at which point in time I might look at moving him. But I'm not gonna sell low on Clayton Kershaw. I'll eat that roster spot before I sell it low. Last thing I want is to sell low on a Clayton Kershaw, and he wins a guy a title in 2020 and 2021. No,
yeah,
that grief is too much for me.
So he's untradeable for you at the moment because you can't get Clayton Kershaw value back at the moment.
That's
you can't
correct.
Get it. It's too much risk. So you're holding on to him.
Unless I find somebody who's got a Clayton Kershaw jersey or two, autograph balls, and is a fan and wants to own them and overpay for them, which is not going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
It's just not going to happen. I would rather take my chances and take my lumps and wait to see what the future brings.
Let me ask you a question. Something totally off topic, is somewhat on topic,
right,
what you just brought up. You talked about being a fanboy. Like, as commissioner of a lot of leagues, I see all the trade talks, you know, when something comes up to be approved. And
right,
I see so many comments back and forth. I can't trade him because I'm a Cubs fan and I want Cubs on my team. I can't trade him because I'm a fill in the blank fan and just won't do it. I get it, you know, but part of me says, to be a really good fantasy player, you can't fall in love with your guys on your team. But then I say, well, part of the fun of fantasy baseball is following guys that you get to read about in the paper or watch on TV every night, know that they're there, you know. Cause, I mean, where's your head fit on all of that?
Well, you know, Rich, I have that same problem. I absolutely refuse and I won't trade any of my Expos players. And I will pay a premium to anybody out there that owns some.
I mean, you do get the appreciation for a person's position on that, but I mean, the analyst in me says you can't like hold on to guys that they're on your favorite team. But maybe I'm being stupid because I don't have a favorite team anymore.
Well, no, but you got Jose Altuve, right? He's a favorite player, right? Big time.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if I said I'll offer you Juan Soto, Ozzie Albies, and Walker Buehler for Jose Altuve.
Done like dinner.
That's what I thought.
Done like dinner, Tim. You don't need to make two out of those three. Done like dinner. I mean, I'm not stupid.
I think at some point in time, you reduce this game, and you know, hey, we all have favorite players in the real game. In my game, I don't have favorite players. I have players that produce statistics and numbers, okay? And I've owned some players that probably a lot of people never have before, and in fact, they've won me titles because some of these players actually produce numbers that I need. Right now, an Adam Engel, okay? I think he's up to 8 stolen bases. He could earn me 2-3 points. How important is Adam Engel to the average fantasy player? Not all that important. To some of my teams, he's very important. So, everything gets reduced back to the numbers for me and what they can do in producing the most and the best possible outcome for me at the end of the year. So, personal favorites, I don't have a whole lot of them, Rich.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm kind of where you are, like with Clayton Kershaw. I feel that way about Mike Trout. I mean, I can't even imagine what you would have to give me to give up Michael Trout in the Dynasty League. I almost feel that way about Mookie Betts. I'm not sure I would ever accept the trade because it would be so stupidly over. You'd have to give me so much that it wouldn't be fair to you. I mean, it's crazy. And I think there's only a handful of players that are like that. There's a couple of minor leaguers that I feel that way about just because no one's ever going to give me the value I think that player's going to have. Maybe some guy like a Tomito Augustine or something like that, who I think has a chance to be very, very good. And I'm not going to give him up for a 7th round pick in 2020 for him, because I think he'll be more than that. So I don't see the value, but other than that, I mean, I'll trade anybody.
Well, yeah, like a guy like Trout, if I offered you Ozzie Albies, Vladdy Jr., and Kopech. How's that?
Vladdy Jr., Timmy. That dude can play.
Ozzie Albies. Ozzie Albies. And Kopech, okay? You can have
that. I don't know.
I probably would not.
It's going to be somebody different than Kopech. Vladdy Jr. is an interesting player to me. He could be.
Yeah.
He looks like Miguel Cabrera. I mean, if there's one player, I know you hate to comp him to potential Hall of Fame, and I do think Miguel Cabrera is a Hall of Fame player. Vlad Jr. seems like, I mean, like the spitting image of Miguel Cabrera, everything from going from third base, you know he's going to wind up at first base at some point with a butt that big. He's moving to first base.
Yeah.
Kid can hit. I don't know what in the world he's doing in double A. He's got double plus raw power. I mean, you're looking at a 30 to 40 home run bat, potentially a 320 to 330 batting average and 400 on base percentage, and who knows how many runs and RBIs. I mean, that's a really, really good player. So all of a sudden it's Albies, which I'm not as high on Albies as you are, but Vlad Jr., a top flight pitcher and a top flight, another young major leaguer. That might do it, Tim.
Well, yeah, you know, hey, I want to win this year, Rich. So I'm willing to.
But if you got Vlad Jr. on your team, unless you were really lucky, you got a bad team, right? Because Vlad, you've already traded him, or you know, you picked high in a draft. So, how many do you have Vlad Jr. on one of your teams?
No, I don't own him anywhere, Rich.
Yeah, I'd love to know.
I haven't finished in a situation that poorly where I had a shot at him, right?
I mean, if you've got Vlad Jr. on your team and you've got a top dynasty league that you've won back-to-back titles, well done, because that just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Vlad Jr., I think, has got more upside than Ronald Acuna, and I know Ronald Acuna's done it in the major leagues, but this guy could be special, Tim.
Yeah, there's only one reason that Vlad Jr. is a double A. The business of baseball, right?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, don't you think he's going to come up sometime in the second half? I mean,
well, I think he could come up any time between Super 2 and the end of the year, and I wouldn't be surprised at anything. I know the Toronto media is starting to put some incredible pressure on the Jays, okay,
yeah,
to get this kid up. Will the Jays bend and break? Their attendance is down over 300,000. They're still the fourth highest draw in Major League Baseball, but 300,000 tickets is a lot of tickets. Do they get those tickets at the end of the deal when Vladdy Jr. has played in his third or fourth consecutive All-Star game, or do they get the sales now? It's a business move at this stage. That's all it is, just business.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think after the Super 2, he'd be a candidate to come up because – I mean, Timmy, he doesn't have a great body. I mean, this is a guy that might not age well, and he's a young kid, and you might see his best years are in 19 to 27, 28, as opposed to, you know, even pushing it over a year. I mean, he could be really, really good young and kind of tap off fairly soon after he turns 30. So I would move him, Timmy. I would bring him up. He looks ready. And inspire some of those sales now and just move on.
Yeah, it's sort of fascinating because, you know, we're sitting here and we're talking about his body type not being good as he ages. But 10 years from now, he isn't 30.
Yeah. He's 29. Yeah.
I have my abacus out tonight. So, But you know what I mean? We're looking at, hypothetically, a fairly long period of time down the road, aren't we?
Yeah, and currently he's more athletic than his body type would show. Now, I mean, does he come Pablo Sandoval, I don't know. But why not bring him up now? And I would bring him up, like, middle of June, as soon as that Super 2 goes in. Because if he waits till August, then he might as well wait till next year. I mean, why then burn an extra year for something that makes no sense, right? I mean, you might as well bring him up as soon as you possibly can you know, to be able to get those extra ticket sales out and so forth, and really to leverage it this year.
And if I was the Jays, what I would do is I would go to the kid right now and say, okay, we believe in you. We want you a part of the organization. Here's $50 million, and we'll buy out everything through to the end of arbitration, plus we want 1 year. Put it on the table, give it to him right now. Tie him up for 7 years.
Won't do it.
I'd throw it out there, though, wouldn't you?
I think you got to have a one handle in front of that. I think you got to have $100 million+ to even have him consider, you know, kind of a 6+1. I think he's got that. And, you know, he's wealthy. I mean, his dad is Vlad Jr. His dad is Vlad Sr., right? So he's got money. So it's not like Vlad Sr. is a legend in his country. And, you know, mm-hmm. this guy's got multiple businesses. This is not a kid who needs, like, Gregory Polanco, go back to that. He signed that deal, very team-friendly deal. He needed the money. His parents were poor. He needed to make an impact at his homeland. Vlad Jr. does not have that problem.
No, he was not rooming with six other kids in A-ball, was he?
No, exactly. So he's got the opportunity to say, you know, I don't know who his agent is, but I bet you in 2 years it'll be a Michael Trout kind of 8 years for $35 million a year, whatever Trout signed. That would be the kind of thing that Vlad Jr. might sign. But it's not going to be a $50 million. I can't even imagine that.
No, the more I think about it, the more I can't imagine it either. Right?
Good shot, Tim. That was like, who did you offer me a trade recently? I forgot what it was. It was like, I'll take Jose Altuve for a bag of balls or something like that. Yeah. I can't remember what it was.
Well, yeah, I think it was – was it Charlie Tilson I was offering, or was offering somebody?
Charlie Tilson and I go to a lot of the Charlotte games, AAA for the White Sox.
Right.
And Charlie Tilson, I think he recently got called up. But every time he comes up to me, I have a big smile on my face. And Lori goes, that's Tim McLeod's guy, right? Yes, he is. I said, he's still in the minor leagues.
But he'll get there someday. I know he's going to be a Hall of Famer, Rich.
Tim, when we get back, we're gonna do your waiver wire, and then we're going to wrap up. My wife is so taken by you, Tim. She has invited you, and in fact, I think you're going to get not only like a invite over here, you're actually getting a personal invite to come visit us. So if you ever make it down to North Carolina, you have an open invite to stay with the Wilsons. So
stay
at her beach house, you can even stay at her. She's going to be like stay at the beach house for a week and do whatever you want and like have the run of the place. And I'm like, wow. So Tim, You're up. You're at the A list. You're at the level of my family. So.
Holy! And you know what, Rich? I will do everything in my power to take advantage of that because it's been a long time since we've had the opportunity to visit, and I've never met Lori. But I would certainly do everything in my power to take advantage of that because you're good people, and I would love to be able to spend some time in the Charlotte area. With you and Lori, and it'd just be awesome. So you believe me, I will do everything in my power to take advantage of that invitation and thank Lori for me.
Surely will, Tim. And correction, Lori's good people. I'm not so good.
Come on, Rich. I've known you a long time.
That's true. Oh, let me get over to your wonderful waiver wire here, Timmy, at Prospect 361. You go to the site, you click on Fantasy, which is Tim's stage, and you go down the waiver wire, and it is week 11, Tim. Dude, where is the time going?
Yeah, she's flying really, really quick, and this week was a little bit thin, and I can't believe it. Kyle Barraclough, like $2 for his card? Like, come on, Amazon, we need more than that.
I know. It's funny, one of my opening comments, I think two opening comments, one was Clay Buchholz. Really? Clay Buchholz, is he really any good? But then the other one is I realized this was the first week that you didn't really have like a high-end kid coming up. It's been Ronald Acuna. It's been like these like named prospects that were coming. And the only guy that, I mean, Dylan Cousins, I don't like. I mean, I don't think that he's not a high-end prospect. There was another guy on here that you also had, Ronnie Rodriguez. I mean, these aren't – this is the first year that – I mean, first week that it hasn't been, wow, you got to go out and pick up this guy. He's going to be really, really good.
Yeah, I actually had to do some digging this week to find some of these names.
Tim had to earn
his
keep.
The list of percentage owned in CBS leagues, Rich. It's fun. It really is.
Well, Kyle Bearclaw, Tim, was the this was bound to happen at some point. And poor Brad Ziegler, I mean, just blew up magnificently, and he is gone. I can't imagine him ever giving the closer position. And Kyle Bearclaw has been the closer and waiting for a while there, and he gets his chance. Do you think he holds it?
I think obviously the concern is going to be the walks, but he's also kept the level of hits down to a dull roar this year. If he can control the walks somewhat, I think he will. You know, Brad Ziegler, until he blew up in in his last save opportunity, he was perfect in the saves. What killed him?
I know.
and I actually did a quick scan. And how many earned runs do you think that Ziegler allowed in 9 innings in non-save opportunities?
I saw you post this somewhere, Tim. I mean, it's a big number. I can't remember what it was, but it's a big number.
18.
Yeah, 18. Let me see, Tim. That's not very good, right?
No, we don't need to break out the abacus for that one, Rich. Definitely.
Okay. Look, Brad Ziegler always has a soft spot in my heart. That year, I think it was with the Arizona Diamondbacks when he got 30 saves or something. He won me a league, and that's how I remember him.
Well, yeah, I still have a soft. You know, it's funny, but those things happen. Like, Willen Rosario will always be one of my favorite catchers. He hit a home run on the last day in Tout Wars and clinched the title for me. I'll always worship the ground that Willen Rosario walks on. I know what you mean.
Absolutely. Clay Buchholz, Timmy. Look, I must admit, I've laughed at the first two outings. I'm like, this is all going to end poorly, and I'm not surprised to see him on the list. But, I mean, is this real? I mean, can we really trust Clay Buchholz?
Well, you know, he had the flexor tendon surgery, and he's just coming. He's coming back from it now. And am I betting that we see the same results we saw? You know, out of the first three starts, one earned run in each appearance. Probably not. But he's got the Giants up next, so I'm willing to bet that the streak continues for at least a little while longer. And who knows, with that surgery, maybe we have a rejuvenated Clay Buchholz. It's worth a shot.
I'm not a fan of Dylan Cousins, Sammy. You say the power is real, so is the strikeouts. I don't like the player himself either. Let people do their own research on that to figure out what I mean by that. I saw him a lot when he played at Reading in AA, and I was a huge fan of Rhys Hoskins over Dylan Cousins, but in full disclosure, I never saw Rhys Hoskins becoming the player he became. I thought he had a chance to be a full-time major league regular, but I didn't see, you know, potential 5-6-time all-star, which is looking like what Rhys Hoskins has a chance to be. But Dylan Cousins, Tim, you're right, power, but I think the strikeouts are going to be tremendous.
Well, you know, at Triple-A, 75 in 168 at-bats. That's pretty close to 50%, isn't it?
It's a lot, Tim. That's a lot. I mean, you usually strike out percentage on plate appearances, but I bet you it's 40%. That's 35 to 40%. That's at Triple-A. That's not going to play in the major leagues.
He could make Joey Gallo look like Ichiro.
Right. He's a big kid, though, man. It's a big, strong kid. Nate Eovaldi, Timmy, we've talked about. Look, you got to go out and pick him up based on what he did. But you have any comments there?
The only thing I would say there that I sort of find intriguing is the fact that he's pitching in Tampa Bay and he's heading into free agency. Okay, you put the two of them together, Eovaldi could find himself on a pretty good team. for August and September. So just leave that sort of in the back of your mind. And the other thing it does is it boosts the value of Sergio Romo, who is now guaranteed, if he moves, to get more starts.
That's true. Johnny Field, Timmy, tell us why we should consider Johnny Field.
Well, he hit in the minors, hit for a little bit of power, stole a few bases. He's got a job. Take a look, especially in deeper leagues. I don't think he's ever going to be a star, but short term, you might get a little speed, you might get a little power, and he's one of those guys where there's currently an opportunity, and he's going to play.
In Holds League, Robert Gesellman is a guy that people should consider. Always liked the arm. Always thought he'd be a starter. Still think he could be a starter, but it looks like at least with A.J. Ramos on the 10-day DL, he's going to even get a better chance for holds and, you know, any slippage with Familia, a chance maybe for saves down the road.
Yeah, I think he's got a couple saves now. So even, you know, even in situations where Familia's pitched a couple days in a row, he might sneak in there for the save op. So definitely Gesellman's stock's rising.
Frankie Montas came up through the White Sox organization. I think he went to the Oakland Athletics in some trade. Does it escapes me? It was one of those bad trades that the Oakland Athletics did when they were trying to go for it 3 or 4 years ago. Has really struggled to find the plate, Timmy, but starting to put it together a little bit.
It's sort of interesting. You know, I was looking at some of his numbers, and his velocity seems to be down a little bit over what it was, okay, especially with the fastball. But his walks are down as well, which I find intriguing. Maybe Frankie Montas has figured out that you don't have to throw the ball at 97, 98 miles an hour all the time and not know where it's going. And I've always been a fan of his stuff, and I liked him coming up through the White Sox organization. So I'm hoping that Frankie has turned from a thrower into a pitcher, and the only time will tell. I'm willing to take a chance on Mr. Montas.
Correct. Well, interesting to me. As you were talking, I was researching Frankie Montas, and Ken came up as part of the Red Sox, traded three times with the White Sox, and eventually in that to the Dodgers and Grant Holmes and Gerald Cotton. For Rich Hill and Josh Reddick. Remember that? That was back in 2016. So he's been all around. And if you're right, if he can cut down on the walks, he's got enough velocity and enough size to be a decent starting pitcher.
Yeah, I've just always been intrigued. And like I said, I'm hoping he's turned from a thrower to a pitcher. We'll find out soon enough.
Yeah, big boy, too. I'm looking at Baseball Reference at 255 is very generous, and I'm saying generous on the small side, Tim. It's a big boy.
Okay.
All right, let's see. Let me get back over, Timmy. Where are we here? There it is, week 11. Let me get back. Okay, next in line would be Mike Montgomery.
Yeah, you know, I thought the week before I mentioned, who was it? Albert?
Yep.
Azalea?
Yep.
Yeah, Azalea. Yeah, and they decided
to Albert. Albert Azalea.
Albert, okay.
Not Albert.
I suggested.
Albert.
I suggested to Albert, okay? Didn't work out too well. So, hey, it looks like the Cubs are going with Montgomery until Darvish is back. Yes. You know, he's done well in his past two starts. If he's out there, and he should be in a lot of your leagues, Cubs will give him support. I'd take a chance on Montgomery.
Kendrys Morales, I mean, I have to tell you, I'm dropping him this week, or I might have dropped him yesterday. I had him in one league, and I'm tired of holding him. I need him. It's a 15-team league, and I've got tons of injuries, and he's gone. I can't hold on to him anymore.
Yeah, I had to drop him in one dynasty. No, I dropped him in Tote simply because I was backed into a corner. I just didn't have enough room to hold him. I've still got him in labor, but he's been hitting a little bit better lately. He was tinkering with glasses. Glasses on, glasses off, and he was really struggling. Last week he ditched the glasses, and he's been hitting better. One of these weeks he's going to reel off a string of, like, 9 home runs and 8 games or something. I'm betting it's going to be sooner rather than later, because if at some point in time it doesn't change, he might not have a job.
Yeah. Yauro Muniz, Timmy, with St. Louis, shortstop, third base, past seven games. Muniz has gone 9-for-25 and a pair of home runs.
Yeah, he's doing very, very well, filling in for Paul DeJong. And hey, we got another month, so if you're looking for middle infield help, give Yauro a spin.
I bid heavily on J.R. Murphy, Timmy, this weekend. I've always liked him back when he was a Yankee. I thought he could hit, and he's doing it in Arizona. I mean, this is now your starting catcher in Arizona, and there might be something there.
Well, hey, if Murphy can do it, why can't Goldie? Oh, that hurts. Sorry, Goldie.
Goldie's playing a little better. He is playing a little better.
Yeah, he caught up to Murphy, so that's a good sign. sorry for the sarcasm. Actually, I'm not. I don't own Goldie anyway.
I do own Goldie in one league, and full disclosure, and I've been extremely disappointed. If he would hit like Goldie could be, I would be in much better spot in that league. I think I'm third at the moment.
He's parking the ball in the bleachers right now. So you got to give Murphy, you got to give him a spin. My shot to Daniel Murphy was the last line there. He's the Murphy you want to own in 2018. He's still a ways away, apparently, Daniel Murphy. Definitely the Marcus Potter rule came to the fore in that situation, didn't it?
Apparently I had him starting, I think, in DL2 where I have him, finally going to get him into the league. And I take him out, Timmy, because I read a report that he was gimping around the base paths. And he's never been a guy who's very slight of foot. But, man, this is getting deeply concerning, almost to the point, is he ever going to make it back this year?
Well, yeah. You know, he was supposed to be back in April, if I'm not mistaken. Middle of April originally was the prognosis. We're now in the first week of June, and he's not in sight. That's not a good sign. And I'm just looking at the article. We got John Ryan Murphy in there twice, Rich.
I see it, Tim. I see it. I wanted to make sure people got his name. So
okay.
I promise to fix that as soon as we get off the copy and paste. Did not work right, and I screwed up. So that's my bad.
Okay.
I'm going to pick two other guys here, Timmy, just because we're running short of time. Jack Peterson. Remember when he's in AAA, it was 30 home runs, 30 stolen bases, and guy can play defense, and that was what I didn't think he'd ever be able to do. I thought he'd hit more, and I thought he'd have more pop and at least some speed, but he's actually not been a very good major leaguer.
No, when you're talking 30-30, you don't want it over a four-year span, do you?
No, it's true. But I did go 4-for-5, and I took advantage. I do own him in one league. That was the league that I traded Billy Hamilton for him and somebody else. And I think in that one night, I got more value out of him than I did the first 6 weeks of Billy Hamilton. So I was feeling pretty good about that. But I still think there's something there, Tim.
I think there is, too. And I don't think Cody Bellinger, okay, belongs in center field, and I think any life out of Peterson might get him a run of full-time at-bats, just because I don't think they really want Bellinger in center field. And speaking of the Dodgers, and this is my bad, because I picked this guy up 2 weeks ago, and I missed him, and, you know, I should have mentioned somewhere in the past 2 weeks Max Muncy, because he just keeps parking the ball. He had a two-homer game in his last outing, and I've got him going in labor. He qualifies at like five different positions. Max Muncy should be on this list, and my apologies for not including him. Just an oversight.
Quick update on Mac story on Max Muncy. I think it was 4 years ago.
Okay.
He made my mid-season top 50. I had a chance to see this guy in high A when he was playing in Stockton with the Oakland Athletics. And I was really taken by this guy. I saw him in batting practice. The ball just jumped off his bat. I really liked this guy. So I think I made him 54 down. You can go back in the archives and look.
Right.
And he was terrible, Tim. He couldn't hit, no power at all in the minor leagues. And everybody just forgot about him. And I think I've made a couple of snide comments this year. Hey, Max Muncy is up. I always liked the kid and so forth. I got to tell you that to see him having some success now, you know, at least I saw it, you know, when I saw him play, and I saw him a couple, three times. And again, 3 or 4 years ago. And it was like, I did see that. And sometimes it just takes guys a long time to put it all together.
Well, you know, yeah, you're right. Sometimes it does take some time, and it's great that you saw that, and you were just about 3 years too early on your call, because it looks like it's coming to fruition. And you know what?
And I own him nowhere. I own him nowhere.
I own him nowhere. Labor, because my choice was down to Dixon Machado for a week, so I spun the dice on Max Muncy.
Speaking of Dixon Machado, Ronnie Rodriguez, a guy that I think he made a top 100 at one point. He's now 26 years old, so it's now or never, Timmy. But Dixon Machado, who, again, it's similar kind of players. Ronnie Rodriguez coming up through the Cleveland organization. So, Timmy, I have to add these little bits just so people know I somewhat know what I'm talking about. But
you know what you're talking about, Rich.
Yeah, just a little bit, Timmy. Let's see what he can do. I think there could be something there.
Yeah, you know what? As long as Machado continues to struggle, the Tigers are going to look for additional options. And you know, he's hit for some power. He's got some wheels. Who knows what's going to happen? And you know, the next guy on the list, Austin Romine. I got to mention him real. He had another home run today, Rich.
Yeah. And last I look, Gary Sanchez, I think for the week was 057 or something. He struggled this year. The power's for real and it's there, but man, that guy's really struggled to make really consistent hard contact.
Yeah. I think his batting average is somewhere around 220 now, right about now. I was shocked when I saw it. It was very, very low.
Yeah, I have 220 might be kind, Timmy. It might be lower than that. But it'll be surprised if Romine gets a little bit more opportunity there. So it's interesting. They did play a doubleheader, so you know that's why he was there. So yeah, Timmy, we'll close with just watching the TV's been on as we've been doing the podcast. I've been watching the players being selected, and Bo Jackson was on the television. He was announcing Kansas City's selection. And I got to tell you, man, I don't know if you can remember back when Bo Jackson came up and what he was able to do in his brief major league career. That's a crazy, crazy player, you know, in terms of what skills he was able to bring to the game. The fact that he really never played much baseball, was the primary football player, superstar football player. And what he was able to do on the baseball diamond with sheer athleticism, I know when I talk to a lot of scouts, it's a guy that no one ever cops a player to because of his skills just being ridiculous. I mean, he had an 80 grade arm, 80 grade speed, 80 grade raw power. I mean, you just don't see that kind of athleticism in anybody. I mean, it was freaky. And just, of course, the freak injury with the hip thing that, you know, stopped his professional baseball and football career. But, man, was he an exciting player for the brief time he was up in the major leagues.
Well, yeah, he could hit a ball 500 feet and, you know, nothing to it. He also had a good temper. The one thing I remember is one of his strikeouts breaking his bat over his knee. Do you remember that one?
He did that multiple times. That was fantastic.
Man, if I did that, they'd have me in a cast from the waist down for 6 months.
Exactly. When I went to the Hall of Fame a couple of years ago, again, first time ever there, it was just a wonderful, wonderful trip. I think about it a lot. And though I thought the Hall of Fame museum itself was a little dated, Timmy, I think we talked about that. Some pretty cool stuff in there. And one of the things I saw, and I watched it a couple of times, was a Bo Jackson like highlight reel. And I had to watch it a couple of times because it reminded me when he caught a ball on the dead run and then he ran up on the wall. Remember that?
Yeah.
And came back down.
Oh, do I ever.
I never had seen that in my life. I didn't know that was physically possible. If you haven't seen it, people should go out to YouTube and see it. It's just like, how did he do that?
But, yeah, it's amazing, that catch. And the man was just gifted with talents that 1/100th of 1% of the world will never have. You know what I mean? It's just, it's amazing. It really is.
Yeah. And unfortunately, again, career cut way too short. If he would have just not played football, you know, but he was a great football player. I remember, I think it was a Monday Night Football game where he was so fast. I mean, he outran everybody and then ran through the end zone and into the tunnel. I'll never forget that. It was like, where'd he go? it was amazing. Yeah. It was like Forrest Gump scene.
Well, you Googled fast and his picture came up.
Yeah, exactly. That's little Bo Jackson reminded me. Looks like he's getting a little long in the tooth, Tim. He looks like he is definitely aging like we all are, but remarkable talent and really, really good player while he was in baseball. So, Timmy, great show. Great write-up again with your waiver wire stuff. We should be back on schedule next Sunday, Tim, unless you've got something to do. We'll be back we'll be doing it 9 o'clock on Sunday evening.
Sounds good to me. I have got absolutely nothing in the works for at least this weekend, maybe the weekend after. Sometime in June, I've got, and this is terrible, it's blasphemous almost, but I can't remember when my grandson, Vaughn's birthday is. It's in June sometime, Rich. And the weekend that we have a birthday party for him, as grandfather, I will definitely be in attendance, spoiling him rotten with as much sugar as I possibly can buy and carry with me in my car. We might have to move to a Monday for that week, but other than that, Sunday nights are great.
That's good with me, Timmy. I'm good until, I think, sometime in mid-July, where I have to go back to Asia for a week. Provided I got an ear thing going on, Timmy, my ear's all stuffed up. I got a little dizziness going on. My ear hurts. It's can barely hear out of my left ear. And as I'm going to a specialist on Thursday to see what they can do for me, I guess I've got sinus issues. It's been tough the last couple of days, so I can't wait to get it resolved.
Well, I went through a problem with that, and I've got an ongoing hearing problem, Regent. I can tell you one thing definitely not to do. Don't go in there and say you feel like the fisherman, you're hard of hearing. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work. Yeah, it's like, I called. I said, I got to see somebody that knows what they're talking about. I keep going to, because I moved to Charlotte. I mean, I haven't, like found a doctor yet because I was feeling fine. I just kind of put it off, and all of a sudden I get this problem. And I go to a clinic, and they said, oh, your ear's all clogged with, like, wax and stuff like that, which sounds totally gross. And then they clear it out, and I feel great. And then 2 days later, it's all stuffed up again. I'm like, I got to go to somebody who's got, like, doctor next to their name. I got to get somebody who really knows what they're talking about. So hopefully I get that fixed and can get on with my life. But it's been tough the last couple of days, to be honest with you.
Well, yeah. You know, you can only go so far with voodoo, Rich. You got to get to a real doctor.
That's right. That's what I got. Timmy, always fun, always a great time. Look, have a great rest of the week, everybody. Good luck with your teams. And, Tim, I'll talk to you on Sunday.
Be well, my friend.
See you.